Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are live here today, as always, ready and willing to answer your questions, questions that you have on your mind, maybe things that you've heard even in your worship services today, things that perhaps your parents have told you and you're just wondering, does the Bible really say these things, or what does the Bible say on these things? We encourage you to give us a call right now. The number to call is 308-9564. That's the number here at the station. Again, that's 308-9564. And we will do our best, as always, to just let the Bible speak. God's Word has all the answers that pertain unto life and godliness. And we see that coming out of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And so we should go to God's Word every time, without exception, for the answer on things that pertain to life, on things that pertain to godliness. And that would be including those things that pertain to how we worship God, how we serve Him, how a person might be saved. We have to let God's Word be the standard, and we have to set our minds in such a way that we want to stay within the boundaries of God's Word. And so we don't want to do more than what the Bible says, and we don't want to do less than what the Bible says, and we don't want to do anything other than just what the Bible says. And so we encourage you right now, go ahead and call in your questions right now, 308-9564. Again, the number here at the station is 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text us. Our text line is 725-9283, 725-9283. We do have a website that you can access. And so if there are members of your family or friends that you have, that live outside of the broadcasting area, and you would like for them to be able to hear our broadcast, well, they can go to our website and listen via the streaming app that's on our website. Our website URL is www.biblealone.com. That's www.biblealone.com. And so share that with your friends. You can also go on that site to access previously recorded broadcasts, as well as other materials that are available to you to aid you in your study of God's Word. So go ahead and call us right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are glad that you're joining us today, and we hope and pray that you have paper and pencil and your Bible, most importantly, ready to be able to check these things out as we look to the Bible for all the answers to the questions that you are calling in today. The lines are now available if you would like to call. We do have both voice lines available at 308-9564. So be sure to write that down and call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. Or if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. That is the cell number that you can text with. 725-9283, and we are more than happy to let the Bible speak concerning the questions that are on your mind. Our first question today is from Joe. Joe, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your desire to know what God has to say on the subject and to be able to understand some of the things in God's Word. His question is, what does the Bible mean by forgiving 70 times 7? Well, if you notice in Matthew chapter 18, we see this question that Peter asked the Lord in verse 21. He says, Lord, how often shall I forgive a brother who sins against me? And I forgive him up to 7 times. No doubt Peter was thinking, oh, that would be so plenty enough to do that if he keeps on sinning against me. And so here's Jesus' response. Jesus said, well, I tell you, but I say to you that up to 7 times, but I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Well, the questioner, Joe, wants to know, well, what does that mean? Well, one thing for certain is that we see that Jesus exemplified this idea of forgiveness. And here in this context, Jesus goes on to say, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, that payment be made. And the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. Well, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. Well, when someone smaller than him owed him something, he did not return that kind of mercy to that debtor that he had. And then the master came back and said, cast him into outer darkness. And so the point there is this. The Lord expects us to be forgiving people. This is what Jesus did on the cross. Forgive them. They know not what they do, Jesus said. Stephen in the church, please hold not this sin against their charge, he says in Acts chapter 7. And so we can see that that is an example that was patterned and a statement that was given that we should be forgiving people. It does not do us any good whatsoever to hold someone in an unforgiven state. Matter of fact, in the example prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus says, if we do not forgive our debtors, then neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses, first part of the chapter there. He teaches about prayer, and then he also brings out that information. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13, we see that. So thank you so much, Joe, for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. Yes, we've got to learn how to be forgiven people. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Yeah, picking back up in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I think that's something that's helpful for all of us to think about, that there are those who would suggest that it's okay to hold a grudge, and absolutely that is inappropriate. We ought to be people that have the mindset to want to forgive so that God would forgive us. And going back to Ricky's point, again, this is a means of demonstrating mercy. So we ought to be merciful people. We ought to be people that are demonstrate love by forgiving. You know, sometimes what I hear, people says, well, I can forgive, but I just can't forget. So how do you handle that situation, Ricky, when you can forgive, but you say, I just can't forget? What does that mean?
Well, that is hard for us because it's not as easy for us to wipe our memory as God undoubtedly can do that. We do tend to remember those things. But if those things eat at us or cause us to be able to have a irritant associated with it, and we're not fondly looking forward to the day when those people do repent of those things, well, then we may not be forgiving those people. And so we've got to learn how to forgive and then hope and pray that they will make things right with their Creator and look forward to that day when they do.
And that just shows the right attitude, where you're looking forward to them making those right decisions, them repenting, you wanting them to repent, you wanting them to do the right thing. Again, that's just the right attitude. When we hold on to those things can have a tendency to make us bitter. We can have animosity in our heart. And so all of these things like animosity and being bitter, these are not characteristics of God or Jesus Christ. These are not characteristics that God would have us to have. We are supposed to be people who are loving, full of love, ready to forgive. That should be our mindset.
There is another thing I thought of as you were talking there. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at verses 4 through 8, telling us how to love. There's a characteristic that is in the middle of that list, which is an awesome list that has enabled, actually helped me for my whole life, last 40 years. And the phrase that I'm still struggling with is that if we love someone, we will believe in them.
Yeah, believe all.
And so we've got to believe. And so we've got to look forward to the point to where that we, in our own mind, in our own heart, can look forward to them appearing before God, a pure white state, forgiven by God himself. And if we can, then the Lord will be glorified. And we, of course, haven't carried that baggage around all our lives because they may have done us wrong. We certainly appreciate that question so much, Joe. We thank you for that. Again, the lines are available. If you want to go ahead and call in your question right now, the number is 308-9564. The cell phone text line is 725-9283. So don't wait till the end of the program. Many of you know, at the end of our broadcast, many times the questions pile up, and we're not able to get to all the questions because of the lack of time. So go ahead and call your question in now at the beginning of the program, and thus we'll be able to give it a full discussion like we did Joe's question. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We're about to tell you about a Bible correspondence course that we want to send to you absolutely free. Let me just start by letting you know, you will learn things in God's Word that you may have never heard before. I've heard this over and over and over. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, we better find out what we don't know that God expects of us before we meet God face to face. So why not go ahead and enroll in this course? Here's the detail on this, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. Again, while we are at break, continue to call in your questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we're serious about this Bible correspondence course. It is something that's absolutely free, so go ahead, just put away your checkbook. Do not even think about sending your tithes or offerings. Matter of fact, just forget about money as from that standpoint, and let's consider eternal treasure. Let us send that to you with this Bible correspondence course. We'll send it in the mail this week, and we're glad to send it to you. And what's good about this, it is so convenient in that you can take this, spend as much time as you want to with it. There's no timetable associated with it. You can study it in the middle of the morning. And be sure to look up every single verse of Scripture that's in the course. Make certain those things are right. And you can concentrate on that and in a time, your quiet time each day or whenever you want to. And then fill it out. The questions are not hard. They're just mainly helping you to look more carefully into the Scriptures that it mentions. And then you fill that out and send it back to us, and then we, in turn, will grade it and send the next lessons back to you. You may discover vital truth that you may have never seen before, and some of these truths could very well prevent us from going to our heavenly home one day. So, you heard me right. There are things the God of this world, that is the devil, has put blinders on religious folks to where that the whole truth is maybe not being revealed. After all, isn't that exactly what he did with the woman in the garden with Eve? He told her truth. He just told her just not all the truth. And so could that same kind of behavior still be done by him today? After all, even in the first century, who was it that actually put Jesus on trial to be crucified? Was it not the religious folks of his day, the religious leaders? So if the religious leaders back then might have been the problem with even Jesus' crucifixion, is there anything new under the sun? Okay, I think you're getting it with me. And that is, we better look for the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And when we do, then we will be better equipped to be able to obey the truth so that the Lord will allow us to go to heaven. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? And in your name done many wonders? And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They were not following the law. Were they religious? Yes. Were they active? Yes. Were they seemingly sincere? Very well may have been. But Jesus was not going to have any part with them, because they were not doing the will of the Father. So the only way for us to know if we're doing the will of the Father is to do the will of the Father, learn it, and to do it. So go ahead and enroll, 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak with the Bible Correspondence Course in your home even this week. Nick?
Yes, we have a text question coming in. Before I read this text question, just want to remind our listeners, especially those who are just joining us, that you can call in your question right now at 308-9564, 308-9564. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you call in your questions, and we do our best to just simply let the Bible speak. We have a text question that came in. The last three digits is 919 of the caller. It says, does the Bible say that only 144,000 people will go to heaven? Well, no, the Bible doesn't say that. And so I'll answer that pretty straight. The Bible does not say only 144,000 will go to heaven. But there is a reference to 144,000 found in the book of Revelation. In Revelation, the 7th chapter, and in particular, verse 4. And the context is talking about those who were sealed. And so just pay close attention to what it says here. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, it says, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now, we know a couple of things about this text in Revelation. One is that it is written in what we call apocalyptic type language. So it's written sort of in code. And so we have to decipher what's been said there. Well, the only way to know what's being said is if God tells us. And I could go and give some examples of that. But I think for the most part, many of our listeners understand that the book of Revelation is written in a code language. And so just because you see a number, that number being 5 or that number being 10, that doesn't mean that that number actually means 5 or 10. One of the numbers that we're all pretty much familiar with, or those of you who are Bible students, you know the number 7. Now, that's a very common number used within the Bible, and it means complete. But it doesn't mean the number 7, and we know that. We know it means complete. Well, the same thing is true about this 144,000. That number 144 would represent something else. And so that's just one thought. The other thought is, well, let's say I want to take that number 144,000 as it is, 144,000. Well, here he says very specifically in verse 4 of Revelation 7 that the 144,000 doesn't represent all that are going to be saved. He says this, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And so even if I was to take it literal, then it would only apply to the tribes of Israel. And that would not apply to anyone that's in under the New Testament or Christ Church dispensation. And so that's something else to think about. And so any time we get into the book of Revelation, we have to accept that there is language that's used in many cases that cannot be taken as literal. But in fact, these are signs. These are sometimes codes. Sometimes the numbers represent something else. And so I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number here at the station. If you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text in your question, as our previous listener did. You can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283. We really do appreciate your good attention. And for those of you who've been listening week after week, we hope that the things that we're sharing with you are a help to you as you continue to study God's Word. I'm going to take just a moment and reiterate how important it is to know God, to know His Word, and to set aside time to study it. We've mentioned earlier about this free correspondence course that's available to you, and so I want to make mention of that again, that you can call 553-5157. Again, that's 553-5157, and you can sign up for this free correspondence course or free Bible study that you can do in your home. You can take the study at your own pace. This is something that you can do with your friends. This is something you can do with your family. But it's all designed around getting you into the Word and helping you grow in the knowledge of God. God wants people who knows Him. I'm going to say that again. God wants people who knows Him. And the only way that we can come to know God is through a study of His Word so that we understand what His will is. And so I can't listen to the preacher, and I can't listen to the pastor, and I can't listen to mama and daddy without consulting the Word of God to make sure that the things that they're saying are in fact so. You shouldn't even be listening to this broadcast unless you're prepared to dig into the scriptures to make sure the things that we are saying are in fact so. And if you find the things that we're saying are not so, if we are false teachers, if you will, then you would be our friend to correct us by way of scripture. We're always going to be listening to scripture. But if you find that the things that we're saying are so, then you have to change your behavior, and we encourage you in that. So right now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564.
And if you have a question you would like to text us, you can text us at our text line at 725-9283. By the way, our voice line is available. It is vacant right now, so you can go ahead and call and get right in. That voice line is 308-9564. We have a text question coming in from the last three digits of their number is 247. We want to say thank you for your question. Their question is, well, did prophets and prophetesses prophesy after the resurrection of Christ? If so, where is it in the Bible? Well, that is a very good question, and there's a number of places that we could have gone. Let me go to the most obscure, to the first, and that would be Acts chapter 21 and verse 4. We have Philip, and it says that now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. So there's Philip and his daughters, four daughters that prophesied. Well, where did Philip come from? He wasn't an apostle. Well, where did his ability come from? Well, let's go back now in time, that is, into the book of Acts, and we'll see where he himself also became a prophet, and that is the ability to speak directly for God, and that's recorded in Acts 6 and verse 6. And they had chosen seven men to deal with a situation that was at hand, and it says that when they had set before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So the apostles laid hands on these seven men, imparting to them some spiritual gifts. Well, in particular, what gave the apostles the ability to do that? Well, let's first make certain that it was just the apostles' doing. And so if you look in chapter 8 and verse 18, we see that when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power. He was rebuked for that, and so he rightly should have been. And so there we can see it was an exclusive the ability of the apostles to lay hands and impart spiritual gifts. Now, that all began in Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2, where Jesus promised the apostles that they would be guided into all truth, yes. But they also would be given power after the Holy Spirit was given upon them. And thus, they could confirm the word, the Holy Spirit could confirm their words with those signs following. So let me give you a couple more passages to read. That would be the very last verse of the book of Mark. That would be Mark 16:20. And then also you might consider Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And you'll see that the purpose of those spiritual gifts was to confirm that word. Thank you so much for that. Again, those verses that we went over was Acts 8:18, Acts chapter 6 and verse 6, and then the previous two I just gave you. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. It's available, 308-9564. Now, if you're outside our calling area, that is area code 843, and then the voice line is 308-9564, the text line 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live, and we're glad to be able to be of your service, and we're glad to be able to go to the Bible for the questions that are on your mind. By the way, remember, you can continue to call that number, 553-5157, if it is busy. For some reason, I don't understand why it might be, but if you're calling to enroll in that Bible correspondence course, just continue calling. You'll get through 553-5157, and we will get it on its way to you free of charge. We'll never ask for a contribution. We will not give you a bait and switch thing ever to say, okay, now you need to pay something. Nope. It will always be free. We're happy to be able to send it to you. And so you will get the greatest amount out of this if you get the course and then study it for yourself and then look up all the verses and study those things. By the way, most churches today, they are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must continue to exist in their doctrinal box. And so, therefore, they cannot, if they go outside that box, then they would no longer be part of that denominational teaching. And so that's why it's important to get outside of such restrictions as that and find the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So go to the Bible. Let's go to the Bible for all the answers. Again, that number for the Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157. And we will be glad to send that to you free of charge. By the way, you may discover things you've never seen before. Again, that number, 553-5157. Now we're waiting on your questions here at the station. We're looking forward to getting them, and we will go to the Bible for the answers, and we will let the Bible speak on those things. 308-9564 is the voice line. It is available, 308-9564. If you have a text question, you can text in your question at 725-9283. 725-9283.
I want to encourage you to go ahead and call right now. As mentioned before, and I think we make mention of this on each broadcast, that what happens sometimes at the end of the broadcast, questions, they just come in. They come in fast and furious, and it's difficult for us to get to answer all of those questions. And so we're encouraging you to go ahead and call right now. 308-9564, or again, you can text us on our text line at 725-9283. You know, there are many groups out there that are sincere and honest in what they believe. And as a result of that, they are engaged in worship. And, you know, the Bible is teaching us very clearly that God wants his people to worship him. In John 4, verse 24, the Bible says that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In verse 23, the Bible goes so far as shows us that God is seeking true worshipers. He's seeking such to worship him. But in that process of trying to worship God, we have to get it right, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's why a broadcast like this is helpful, because it gives you an avenue to ask questions, to try to validate whether or not what you're doing is right from a biblical perspective. And so you're looking at, you know, maybe how you're worshiping. You're thinking about that right now. You're considering those things right now. If you see something that's questionable and you're wondering, does the Bible really teach this as being okay, then we want to encourage you to go ahead and call us with that question. It could be that there's something that you believed all your life. Well, for example, you know, my mom taught me all my life. She said that money was evil. In fact, she said money was the root of all evil, and I grew up trying to process that. And I'll tell you what, I had a hard time making that work because, well, you know, we really do need money in order to survive. And my mom had taught me that money, in fact, was evil. Well, I remember meeting with a gentleman and saying that to him, and he looked at me like I was strange, because, you know, that's not what the Bible teach. You know, the Bible teach in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, or the root of evil. It wasn't that money was evil, but rather the love of it. And yet my mom had taught me that all my life. And I believed it all my life, up until the point that someone showed me in the Bible that the Bible actually said something different, that in fact God said something different. I didn't make my mom a bad person. It just means that she did not know. And she was teaching what she knew. The unfortunate thing, she was teaching wrong. And so I began following her wrong because I did not look. And so what our encouragement to you is to look for yourself. You have to have faith in the things that God says. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6, the Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I have to have my faith. You have to have your own faith. And the way we get our faith in God is we go into God's word and we see it for ourselves. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I know that there's something that you've heard this week that you have questions about. Well, now's the opportunity to call in your question right now, and we will go to God's word for the answer. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. If you wish and prefer to text in your question, you can. Our text line is 725-9283.
We are glad to be able to be here with you today, and we're glad that you're with us, and we hope and pray that the things that we study together from God's word will be of eternal benefit to each of us as we look and consider what the Bible has to say. Are you aware that we have a Bible, a website that you can go to during the week and listen to other broadcasts that we've had in the history of this broadcast? You can go to www.biblealone.com, and there you can listen to the broadcast either live by hitting the live stream button. And so if you know somebody that is out of town or out of the country, somewhere else in the world, if you can get them to go to our website, which is, again, www.biblealone.com, and they can join us right now live by hitting the live stream button. They can also send us text messages from wherever they're at in the world. There's a box at the bottom of that page, and they just have to just type in that box, type the question, and it will be sent directly to us here at the radio station. And so either way, they can join us live. Well, there's another benefit of the BibleAlone.com website in that you can download outlines or studies of the most frequently asked questions asked. And it will give you the list of verses that answer those questions to where you can see what the Bible says right then and there. And you also can actually print out the Bible correspondence course if you want to. Print it all out and look at it before you fill it out and send it in. You're welcome to do that as well. We are thrilled to be able to be of service and to share with you the riches of God's grace, the riches of God's word, as we look and study and to learn what God expects of us. So go to our website and frequent it, and you will be able to listen to previous broadcasts, download material, download the Bible correspondence course, and communicate either live over this broadcast during this Sunday afternoon from 1:30 to 3, or also listen to older years or older broadcasts that we've had in this radio program each week. www.BibleAlone.com, and we will be of your service there to be able to help you to be able to learn what God has to say. So go ahead and check that out, and we'll be glad to assist you that way. Again, the number here for the live call-in question, if you would like to call in your question in your voice, then use 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us your question at 725-9283. We're going to go ahead and take our next break. Even while we are at break, you can continue to call in your question. Now, while we are at break, you can go ahead and do that. The voice line is available, 308-9564, and you can call in your question right now, 308-9564, or the text line is also available, 725-9283. Go ahead and call in your question right now. We'll be right back.
308-9564 is the number to call here at the station, 308-9564 to call in your question. If you want to take advantage of the free correspondence course or the Bible study that you can do in your home, then go ahead and dial 553-5157 to sign up for the course. Again, that's 553-5157. We've noticed that some of you have already begun signing up, and so we want to encourage our other listeners to take advantage of this opportunity as well. Again, it is absolutely free of charge, and it will be an aid to you as you continue your study of God's Word. Again, that number is 553-5157. To join us here at the station with your question, so some of those questions are starting to come in today. You can participate in this. Go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have a caller with the last three digits, 247. Question came in from them. They had the previous question also about prophets and prophetesses. Their follow-up question is Philip a prophet or a deacon? Well, if you go to Acts chapter 6, you will see that he was appointed with seven men to serve tables rather than the apostles using their time and energy toward physical things. They chose these seven men to be able to take care of that, and they laid hands on them. Now, they were chosen with qualities that were remarkable to begin with. Verse 3 says, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, one, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, two, of whom we may appoint over this business." And so they had qualities to begin with, and so they were remarkable men. Well, then on top of that, it says that they laid hands on them, and thus the word of God was able to be able to be given to them. So there's nowhere in this context here in Acts chapter 6 that they're called deacons. Now, the word deacon means servant. So from that standpoint, yes, they were serving tables. They could be called a deacon from that standpoint if you just mean it purely from the meaning of the word. But were these men the same kind of deacons that are talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 3? 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, we see a list of qualities that must be embraced or had understood before that they could be appointed over the work of a deacon. 1 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 8, likewise, a deacon must be reverent, not double-tongued, nor given to much wine, nor greedy of money, holding to the mystery of faith in the pure conscience, and so on it goes through verse 13. And so there are qualities there that must be embraced before they can serve as 1 Timothy chapter 3 is describing them. That seemed to be a special place or position or service that they would qualify themselves for. And so we don't see that exact wording or same exact qualifications given in Acts chapter 6. So what I'm trying to do is just be careful and not add to God's word, but just to point out they're not literally called deacons in Acts chapter 6. As far as that goes, they're not even called prophets either. But when we see in chapter 8 and verse 18 that it is through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, and we see that Philip was teaching the word of God, where up to this point only the apostles had been teaching the word of God, we assume, therefore, that Holy Spirit was power given through their hands, enabling them to speak directly God's word without having been learned it, as most of the other people had to do. Hopefully that wasn't too confusing, but I appreciate your question very much. To answer your question based upon what we just went over, there's not called prophet or deacon, but we see the responsibility and the action suggests they were prophets after that. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. That's the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us. Text your question in to 725-9283. That is the text line. Nick?
We have V calling in today. V has a question about the Ark of Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was how the children of Israel would come into the presence of God during the Old Testament. Only the Levites, and specific Levites, could actually carry the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant typically lived in the tabernacle. The word tabernacle just means tent. And once a temple was built, it lived in the temple. And so the question by V is concerning the Ark of the Covenant. It says, was God actually in the Ark? Well, you know, I got to thinking, does the Bible ever even suggest that God was going to be in the Ark? And so what we have in Exodus the 25th chapter, actually Exodus chapter 25, verses 21 and 22, it really just shows that God would meet them in this place called the mercy seat. And so on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the cherubims, these golden cherubims. And so in between these cherubims, you had the mercy seat. And this is where God was going to meet with his people. He says in Exodus chapter 25, verse 21, you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark, you should put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you and I will speak with you from above, he says, the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are on the ark of the testimony of all things, which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. So what God promised was to meet them of the mercy seat. That's where God was going to be, or his presence, if you will. So now the real question is, can God be contained, you know, to that one spot or that one location? Keep in mind that even the ark was moved into the tabernacle or the temple that Solomon would build. And there's an interesting reference in Acts, the 7th chapter, that lets us know that although there was a temple and God would be in the temple cannot hold God. And I think that's the point, that this really was God's coming in the presence before the people, but this is God manifesting himself to come in the presence. But not that he was bound by or can be, all of God, if you will, can be held by a specific location. In Acts, the 7th chapter, in verse 47, he says, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says. He says in verse 49, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. I want you to think about that for just a moment, to kind of imagine in your mind what that must mean. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And so when you think about how large the heavens are, God says, that's where I sit. And when you think about the earth, he says, it's my footstool. It's the place where my foot rests. And so certainly in this passage is painting a picture of how just ginormous God is. And of course, he's even larger than this picture paints. But to keep in mind that God could not be bound to the temple, even bound by, you know, even the mercy seat. But that's where he would come. That's where he would manifest his presence before the people. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text in your question. Our text line is open. It's ready. 725-9283. 725-9283. And as always, we will do our best to let the Bible speak.
Again, the voice line is available, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we are glad to get your question today, and we'll be glad to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart and mind. There may be some situations that have occurred in your life that you want to know about. What does God have to say about that? It can have to do with family. It may have to do with money problems. It may have to do with decisions that you make or decisions you want to make. What does God have to say? Because God's word furnishes us completely for all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so God's word, God's counsel, is sufficient to furnish us completely to every good work. And thus, we need to go there to be able to find those answers. And so go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. And by the way, just to let you know, a number of you have already signed up for the Bible Correspondence course. We've already seen that, and we thank you for that. But truly, you're the one that's going to get the blessing, and we're just glad to be able to serve, because as you go through and you get that course in the mail this next week, you take it and study it. Take as much time as you need to be able to find all the answers in God's Word, and then fill it out and send it back to us, where we will grade it and then send you that lesson back along with the next lessons. We send lesson one to begin with, and then we send lesson two and three, the second mailing, and you study those and you fill those out. And then as you finish those, you send those back to us, And we will grade those and send them back to you along with lessons 4, 5, and 6. And that is the first course. And we've got dozens of courses that we put people on. And as some of y'all are aware of that, we're glad to help you as you look into God's Word and search for the treasure that will be eternal, of eternal value to you, especially if we are applying these things to our life. By the way, it doesn't do any good to learn something if we're not being a doer of His Word. James 1 and verse 22 exhorts us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so very easy for us to be deceived, thinking that we are pleasing to God. But if we're not doing what He says, then we are not pleasing Him at all. And our very first characteristic we need to have in studying God's Word is having a willing heart to do. John 7:17, if any man wills to do His will, he shall know whether I speak of myself or of another man. And so we've got to make certain that we are willing to do what God says so that we might be able to please Him. And that's what this is all about. 308-9564 is the voice line. It is available. Even though it doesn't seem to be working today, it is available. And the text line is 725-9283. Your choice of questions, your choice of how to communicate, but God is the one going to give the answer. Again, 308-9564, the voice line is available. Text line 725-9283. Nate?
Yeah, we received a comment from one of our texters, the last three digits, 247, basically said, thank you so much and really appreciates the program. And we want to say thank you for listening. And we're just hopeful. We're always hopeful that one, you're not hearing us. And so if it gets to the point where you hear Ricky or you hear Nick or Chuck or Steve or Larry and some of the folks that are on behind the mic, if you're hearing us, then we're doing something wrong.
Amen.
You have to be hearing the Scriptures, God's Word. And that's all we're trying to put out, just God's truth, so that your faith may not live or rest in men, but may rest in the power of God. And we know that God's Word is His power. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone that believes. And so God's power lives in His Word, and we're doing something wrong if we get in front of God's power, if we're in front of the Word, if you're hearing, you know, thus says Ricky, or thus says Nick, or thus says Laren, or thus says Chuck or Steve, if you're hearing that, then we're doing something wrong. No, you should be hearing, thus saith the Lord. Everything that God has for us, everything that we'll ever need, will come from His Word, and that's all we need to focus on. And Second Timothy, the third chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul tells Timothy this way. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching or doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. And so if you're out there as a listener and you're trying to receive God's instruction in righteousness, well, then the Scriptures was designed by God to accomplish that. And so you should not be hearing us. We should be giving you Scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. And God provided His Word for this reason. In verse 17, it says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So as long as we all adhere to or hold to the Word of God, then God is able to equip us for every good work. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. It is time for us to take another break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions that we might respond with the Scriptures that has been designed by God to equip you to every good work. So go ahead and call 308-9564, or you can text in your question at 725-9283. We'll be right back. 308-9564 is the number to call here at the station with your question. 308-9564. Or feel free to text in your question at 725-9283. Throughout the series of breaks, we've offered this the correspondence course, the Bible study that you can do in your home at your own pace with your family, with your friends. That's still available to you. We're happy to send that to you free of charge. We'll send that to you in the mail. We'll send you the first lesson. You fill it out and complete it, send it back to us, and then we'll send you the next ones in the series. If that's something that you are interested in, go ahead and call 553-5157. Again, that number is 553-5157 to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course. You know, I think about procrastination because that's like my middle name, unfortunately. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we can get away with procrastinating on. But then, you know, there are some things that, you know, we ought not ever procrastinate on. Anything that pertains to our spiritual salvation, you know, trying to make our relationship right with God, we should never procrastinate on those things. We've not been given tomorrow. We've not been given the next hour. We've not been given the next minute. We've not been given the next second. And so we have to act now when it comes down to spiritual things and trying to get our lives right with God and trying to understand God's will. And so I want to encourage you that if you feel that you're not doing those things, that you're not learning about God the way you should, take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course and do it now. Again, to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, go ahead and call 553-5157. If there's some question that's on your heart, some question that, you know, you're wondering whether you're being taught truth, then you can go ahead and call in 308-9564. But do it, and do it now. Now is the time to get ourselves spiritually right with God. Now is the time to take those first steps to get spiritually right with our Lord and our Savior. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have Sandra calling in this question. She wants to know about Pharisees, lawyers, hypocrites, as Jesus talks to them in Luke chapter 11, also Matthew chapter 23. Says, why did Jesus call them hypocrites? Were those lawyers like our lawyers? Well, Sandra, very good question. We have somebody here in the studio nodding their head, I have to, of course, correct them and let them know, no, it's not the same thing. The lawyers back then were lawyers of the law. Now, you have to imagine the Jewish commonwealth that they lived under the law of Moses. And so the civil law was the religious law, and the religious law was the civil law. It was one and the same. It was no such thing as separation of religion and state. It was just one and the same. So when there were lawyers in their society, they were experts of the law of God. So the Pharisees were some of the most mindful or knowledgeable individuals of the law of Moses during that day. And so certainly the lawyers would have come out of that group because that was their characteristic. So that means that they were just experts at the law of understanding what the law was all about. Now, unfortunately, they did take that and run with it to where that they came up with all these applications of how to follow that law. Now, if you can look in Matthew chapter 15, you'll see Jesus dealing with some of that. And he actually is dealing with them beginning with the first verse. It says, then there came scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat? And so then Jesus goes on and points out, says, because of you're the one that transgress, you can transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions. And then he gives an illustration of how that they were supposed to honor father and mother. And he says in verse 6, because they do that, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Then he quotes another passage from Isaiah, how that these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is not far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. So he's nailing them to the wall with the word of God, even the law that they were experts in, and let them know because of their applications of these laws, their interpretations of how to do it, it made the actual law of God of no effect because people were more concerned about what these lawyers were saying than what the Pharisees, and what the Pharisees were saying rather than the law of God itself. So is there a parallel to that today, Sandra? The answer to that is absolutely so. It's not with our secular lawyers, but it would be with the religious leaders. And that is any kind of religious body that functions with more fear and respect over the religious leaders than they do than the word of God and the pure truth of God's word. Well, then it's exactly the same thing today. So if Pastor Good Intentions gets up and says, we've got to do it this way, and this way, and everybody nods their approval because they say that, then that's exactly the same thing that Jesus was dealing with there. And so, yes, it makes them hypocrites because they are ignoring the true authority, which is God. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Well, that means if he's got it all, right, then we have none. He's got it all. We're supposed to be total, total allegiance to what he says and following his word. He said all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And so that means all of it. We've got to clear everything with him, do what he says. He's the one that is in charge, and he's the one that we're going to answer to and be judged by one day. It will not be Pastor so-and-so. It will not be Mama. It will not be the world. It will not be the Pope. It will be thus says the Lord, and we better listen to him, or we're going to fall under the same condemnation that those individuals fell under there in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew 23 and Matthew 15, and it goes on and on and on. Yeah, Jesus was constantly dealing with this hypocrisy among them as they were ignoring what God said and following after what man said. Thanks, Sandra. That is awesome question. I really appreciate your calling in and asking that question. That's just really good. You know, one more thing about the Pharisees. They had good intentions. They were trying to help the people to be able to follow the law of God. And thus, they came up with all these applications. In essence, they were trying to build a hedge, if you will, a thorn bush around the law to keep people from venturing too far from it. But their very thorn bush that was so prickly to them was actually replacing the law that they should have been focused on to begin with. And so whenever churches do that today and they come up with all these laws and bylaws and things that they come up with, these doctrines of man, well, we're doing the very same thing again. So they may have good intentions, but Jesus dealt with it harshly in the first century, and he will deal with it harshly in the judgment day. Thanks, Sandra, so very much. Again, the number, if you have a question or a follow-up question to this, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Don't forget the Bible Correspondence Course. If you've just tuned in, we're offering a free study of God's Word via the mail. We will send it to you absolutely free. That number is 553-5157. 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. Just go ahead and call right now. There's no limit on number of calls that we can get during this broadcast, so go ahead and call 553-5157. Let me go ahead and add one more thing to this. If you are interested in hosting a Let the Bible Speak there in your home or in your community, do you know that we would be glad to make those arrangements to come out in person and to be able to study God's Word where you and your friends can ask the questions and we will go to the Bible for the answers to those questions? how much more convenient can we make it than that? All you have to do is call 553-5157 and ask for that, and we will be back in touch with you to make those arrangements. 553-5157. That is in the Charleston area. Charleston, Goose Creek, Ladson, Monk's Corner, area, Ridgeville, Mount Pleasant. Just go ahead and call. We will make those arrangements, and you can host the Let the Bible Speak program, or a program like that, in your home, in your area, in your community. Now we're about to approach our last break. While we are at break, then we will only have one segment left, so go ahead and call your question right now, 308-9564, and we will be, that's the voice line. You can call in your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer, 308-9564. Here's information on that Bible correspondence course, and if you want to host a Let the Bible Speak in your home, here's information on how to do that. We'll be right back.
308-9564 is the number to call right now here at the station, 308-9564. This is our last segment. We were pretty excited during the break as we think about how wonderful the things of God are. So we should likewise collectively be excited when we think about how good God is. We want to encourage you to take advantage of this last segment, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. If you want to text, you can text in your question, 725-9283. Now, don't forget, we do have a website that's available to you for you to access other resources. That's www.biblealone.com. www.biblealone.com. We have previously recorded broadcasts that you can go and you can listen to. We also have, as Ricky mentioned earlier, kind of a FAQ, a frequently asked questions, where you can go and you can pull some of that material as well. All of it's designed to aid you in your study of God's Word. If you were interested, if you were one of the ones that are interested in an in-home Bible study, as we talked about going to break, go ahead and call 553-5157 to sign up for that. You know, we only get one shot at this, and I stress that. You know, do not wait until you need a second chance to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We get one shot, and that time is now. And so we should be doing all that we can to come to know Him, to come to serve Him better. And so all of these tools that we're offering, those are at your disposal, free of charge. We don't want your money. And I know it sounds crazy. So why don't they want our money? But the only thing that God wants from you is your soul. That's what God wants. He wants your soul, and he gets that by way of your complete obedience. And so if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we want the same thing, for you to give your soul to the Lord, for you to give your obedience to the Lord. And then we should be likewise doing the same thing. We are all here simply to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we encourage you to take advantage of these tools that we have available for you free of charge. Anything that we can do to help you in your study of God's Word, we will make ourselves available for that. Go ahead and call right now your questions, 308-9564.
You were just mentioning about the soul and how that he wants that. Well, he's going to get it. You know, he's going to get every one of us. And the reason I say that, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 says, then the dust, talking about death coming, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So he's going to get them. It's just what he's going to do with them afterwards is a challenge that we should have. And so we need to prepare for that day when the Lord will have charge over our soul, our spirit, so that when we stand before him in judgment, we might be able to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, that's only if we have been a good, as he defines good, and faithful, as he defines faithful, servant. You know, that's the ones that he will allow to go into heaven. Now, there will be some others that he will say, depart from me, I know you not, you who practice lawlessness. Okay. How can we prevent ourselves from being in that group? Well, think about the word lawlessness. Well, that means they're not following God's law. Well, isn't that simple? You know, the gospel is simple. Man is the one that makes it complicated. Just by doing what God says, Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So we've got to be doers of that word, that law, if we're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So that's what we got to do, and the only way to prepare for that is for us to know what his law, his word, his guidelines tell us that we should be and what we should be about. And so that's so very, very important. Again, the number is 308-9564. 308-9564. That's the voice line. You've got room. You've got time. Hurry. Go ahead and call in your question right now. 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Nick, you have a question there?
Yes, Joe calls in. Joe, we sure appreciate you calling in today. He says, are there women evangelists? Well, the word evangelist or evangelize, it really means to just herald the word of truth. And so it is seemingly one-way communication where a person goes out and they herald or they proclaim the message. And that message, that work of heralding the truth, is a work that was for the entire church, both men and women. So in a general sense, you know, both men and women, they were supposed to be doing that work. In Romans, the 16th chapter, Romans 16 and verse 1, Paul talks about a young lady by the name of Phoebe, or Phoebe, some pronounce it that way. He says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. So it seems like this woman participated in the work. And then in Philippians, the fourth chapter, Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about, in verse 2, he talked about Euodia and Syntyche. And then in verse 3, he says, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. And so the Bible does talk about women who labored in the gospel. And then he gives some names. He says, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And so from the perspective of sharing the gospel or laboring in the gospel or helping to proclaim the message of the gospel, that is both a male and female task. But if we're talking about evangelists in the sense of the one who stands before the pulpit and preach or stands in the pulpit to teach or preach, well, then God has very specific criteria for the person that would do that. But he's specific to women concerning whether or not they could do that. And so if we look at passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible is clear that women were to be silent in the churches, so during the assembly. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34 says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And so he goes on in this text and talk about this. But one of the things he does say in verse 37 is, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So what he says is, this is not Paul talking here. So again, as I mentioned earlier, you shouldn't hear Ricky, or you shouldn't hear Nick, or you shouldn't hear Laren, or you shouldn't hear Steve or Chuck. Well, Paul, we shouldn't hear Paul. We should be hearing the command of the Lord. And so, again, inside the assembly where the church assembles together during worship, women were to be to learn in silence, the Bible says. And then there's one other passage I think may be helpful. In 1 Timothy and 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11 says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And so there's a sense in which there is a formal teaching process. And maybe that happens in the worship service. Maybe that happens in a Bible class. But God has not authorized a woman to teach over a man in such settings. However, as far as in the informal sense, you know, just going out and sharing the message, sharing it with your neighbor, or perhaps even a woman participating with her husband, as Aquila as Aquila and Priscilla work together. That is authorized by God. And yes, that work of teaching the gospel is a work that is not bound to just male, but is also inclusive of female. I hope I didn't make that too complicated, but I want to try to specify that everyone should be sharing the message. But when we get into the assembly or into Bible classes, God has given some specific rules and specific criteria which we must all meet. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
Well, Nick, does that include pastors? Can a woman serve as a pastor of a church, the one that is a shepherd over a flock?
Well, we likewise have criteria that God has given concerning a pastor or a shepherd or a bishop. And that comes out in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where he says, if a man desires a position of a bishop, and then he goes on to say in verse 2 that this bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. And so that's in the first two verses of chapter 3 in First Timothy. And we find the same language in the book of Titus as well.
Okay. Well, there you have it. And hopefully that has been beneficial to the questioner. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very, very much. Again, we have just a couple of minutes left. If you hurry, you can get your question in, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. We want to encourage you also to remember the offer to host a Let the Bible Speak there in your home or in your community. You can call and make those arrangements at 553-5157, 553-5157. We will be glad to send you a Bible correspondence course. But also, as you call that number, if you're wanting to host a Let the Bible Speak in your home or community, then all you have to do is just tell us to give you a call, and we will call you back and make those arrangements with you. Say, I want to host a Let the Bible Speak in my home. I want to have a Bible study there in my home. And we will see what we can do to make that happen. Again, that number, 553-5157. Now, as you call that number, you can enroll in the correspondence course, and we will be glad to send that to you free of charge. The reason is because sometimes there are restrictions on what many churches can teach or what they will teach based upon their system of beliefs that they are restricted by. And thus, you're able to have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, if you just study it for yourselves and see what God says. And we'll be glad to assist you in that just by sending this course to you free of charge in the mail. That number is 553-5157 for that free Bible correspondence course. Is it possible that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of some that they do not see? Because of these blinders, why not just remove those and look into the Bible just for itself? And so, all right, we just got 2 minutes, and so we don't have time for a live call. And so we apologize for the one wanting to go live. And, Nick, you've got a question here?
Yeah, just a real quick question. It says, is there a deaconess in the Bible? And so in 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is typically where some use the language deaconess, but the Scripture doesn't refer to its deaconess. It just talks about the wives of the deacons and that they were to meet certain criterias. In verse 11, it says, likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. So I hope that's been helpful.
All right. We want to thank everyone for participating in today's broadcast. I guess there were a lot of church services that were extended today, and thus we're not able to get out in time to join us on the program today. A little slow, but we are glad that you're able to join us for this few minutes anyway. We want you to be aware of the Bible Correspondence Course is still available even out right now if you wanted to call 553-5157. Plus, you can go to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak that means as well. Now, please keep in mind that the material that we send to you is absolutely free. There are no denominational restrictions or boxes or parameters by which we operate in except the Word of God, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so please, please don't let yourself be kept absence of the essential knowledge that you need. I almost used the word ignorant there, but I didn't want to insult anyone. Let's just make certain that we know what God expects before we meet Him face to face. We want to thank you for joining us. We pray you'll continue to join us each week between 1:30 and 3 as we let the Bible speak.